Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 20th of August 2018. We have Dennis, Desalin, Edmund, Gaurav, Mirjana, and Samad on the call. Though Desalin has some hearing challenges due to technical issues. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmak. Welcome back, everyone, to the study group Root Zone LGR weekly calls. I trust that you had a good break. But now we're going to resume our weekly calls in order to start developing the recommendations based on our scope of work. Our document is still at play on public comments. Still 22 days to go. No comments submitted yet. That's normal. Usually we will see if any comments posted in the latter days. So those are still a few days away. So with that, let's get through the document. So what we want to do moving forward is to take this scope of work. Let's accept this is the scope items that we're going to deal with. We will deal with the comments afterwards. Sorry, hold on a second. Sorry about that. My computer just rebooted itself, so I'm blind as far as what I'm looking at the document. Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Just, Dennis,
yes,
you're still
yes.
connected.
Okay, I'm still connected through audio, but I'm blind as far as chat room, queue, et cetera, right? My computer decided to reboot itself to install software. Anyways, so I was saying what we need to do now is to start working on recommendation based on our scope items. I think because of the public comment is pending yet, let's start working on the easy scope items, and let's work together in order to define those and start working on a expanding the analysis, the rationale, and the recommendation themselves. Okay. So Sarma, please help me through because I don't know how long this computer thing was gonna last on me. I'm still blind, cannot see anything. Here, so
sure.
why don't you help me voice over the scope items and let's do a rough pass as to what I want to, and this is open for conversation. I think what we could do, one possibility is today, right now, we do a rough pass and say, let's pick the low-hanging fruit items. Right, the ones that we can start developing without any outside comments and that we know because the answer is obvious, like what does use of Root Zone LGR is definition is, that's something that is outside comments will probably not make us change how we see this, the use of the LGR. For example, right? So that's one possibility. So let's do a rough pass through every single scope item and just say yes, no, yes, as to we're going to start looking at analysis and issue drafting preliminary recommendations for us to review and weigh in everyone. And the notes will be we will defer analysis and comments and recommendations after we receive comments from the community. That's one possibility. Let's hear if everyone agrees, supports, want to adjust or offer a different alternative. Please, let's do that in 1 minute if possible. Again, still blind, so I'm not... Sarma, can you help me manage the queue? Hello?
This is Edmund. I can still hear you, but I don't hear Samad responding.
Yeah, I think maybe he dropped. I don't know. So
I'm on my mobile, so I also don't have Adobe Connect in front of me.
Gotcha.
I did have it, but it didn't. The voice didn't work, and I switched over, and it's kind of hard for me to get both set up on the mobile.
Understood. Okay. Okay. So today we have that. This is unfortunate. We have sort of tech problems here. I now see that my computer is going to restart in about 30 something minutes. So that's not used now. I trust that Sarmat, are you back again?
Yes. I just got dropped off. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. So my computer is going to restart in 32 minutes. So I will depend on you, Sarma, to help me see.
Sure.
I don't know if how far into you hear what I was suggesting. What I was suggesting is that we do a rough pass today and say yes, no on the scope
sure.
items individually. Yes would be, let's start working on analysis and recommendations from today. And the no's, we will defer analysis and comments after we receive input from the community. I was suggesting that alternative, and I was opening up the queue for any comments on that approach. If anyone has a different or slight variation of it, happy to hear and do that. So
there's no hands up.
Okay. All right.
Edmund.
Yes, Edmund, please go ahead.
I think that's fine. We can go ahead, but I guess my general take is apologize. Supposedly I have Adobe, but it's hard for me to switch between them on my mobile. But in general, I think it's yes for me if I don't respond, because I think in any case we can start the deliberations and as we go through, maybe it's easier to then say, hey, we don't conclude here yet and wait for the comments. But it's okay. Let's go over the suggestion. But you can assume that I would have yes on all of them. And if someone else feels that it's a no, then we'll park that item until and circle back after the comments.
Thank you, Edmund, for the input. I actually like your approach. We get started on the items, and if we come across an item that we feel should be deferred after comment period is closed, we'll take that decision. We'll cross that bridge at that point in time. So I like your approach. Let's get started with scope item one and go through it. And I believe from memory, I think is the scope item one is use of RootZone LGR, and about the definition, so that, again, this is one of the easiest, obvious rhetoric questions, but important as to define and to establish what the use of the RootZone LGR is, so that future groups, policy, technical, or otherwise, know what this group meant as far as the application of the LGR for the RootZone.
So should I read?
Yes, please, Armin. That will be helpful to establish a baseline as to where are we on things and whether we need to further that analysis and comment.
Okay. So the first item is how should the RootZone LGR be used? RootZone LGR has been designed to validate IDN labels and calculate their variant labels. It is built by integrating LGR proposals from different script-based communities like Han, Arabic, Khmer, Latin, and so on. So the first point to discuss is how is the use of root-zone LGR defined? And it has two sub-bullets or two sub-points. One is the syntax validation of labels to determine whether an applied for string is valid or invalid based on the code point repertoire and the whole label evaluation rules of the root-zone LGR. The second subpart of this is variant label calculation, which is elaborated as to calculate the variant labels of an input string and corresponding disposition values, for example, allocatable and blocked. So let me stop there and we can start the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. Any reactions on the definition? It's a rough definition, but something that we need to further elaborate perhaps for better readability. In my opinion, that's the adequate definition of the use of the root-zone LGR. Anyone has a reaction, addition to those statements or terms, definitions?
This is Edmund. I can jump in.
Edmund, please go ahead.
Thank you. So I think that is the really the simplest way to put it, and probably is the bulk of what we need to say. The one thing that I think we might want to think about, and sorry again, I don't have my computer in front of me, or I would have searched, looked this up immediately. But if there are any comments or kind of notes that come with the LGR, then perhaps whenever a set of variant labels are generated, if there are any code point or if the resulting WLE has any notes to it, then perhaps that should be included as a kind of result or at least brought up so that, you know, if any further process needs to be done, those notes are taken into consideration. Again, I forgot whether there are possible ways of putting comments in each entry of the LGR and whether the LGR proposals themselves have these type of features. If so, then perhaps after generating the, the variant labels, whatever relevant notes should also be identified alongside the set.
Sarma for the queue, please.
Sarma, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, Edmund, I think I just want to add that Edmund is raising a very good point, and I think that's something which is not clear and really should be added here. I'll give you a couple of examples. one is that in many cases in New Brahmi generation panel proposals, there are six proposals in public comment right now. You would see that in addition to the variants, they have also identified similarity code points which are similar, and those are things which do not address the LGR definition, but the communities actually discuss those things, and they have been put in appendices, not in the XML definition, so they're not normative in that sense from an XML point of view or an LGR point of view. But they are there to inform the subsequent string similarity review panel about possible similarity issues. So that's an example of something which is in the root zone LGR, which the community is determined, but not perhaps part of the formal definition of the LGR. And maybe that is what Edmund was alluding to. So that's one example. I would want to end with one more comment, though, and I think that is that if there are such conditions, I think one thing such conditions should not do is override or undo something which the root zone LGR is doing, of course. So whatever is added on top of what is the normative definition should put additional constraints on the solution, but not perhaps make the root zone LGR normative, root zone LGR less conservative. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma.
This is Edmund. Just a plus one to that comment in lieu of text.
Thank you, Edmund. So from that, what I take a takeaway is that we need to expand a little bit and work on the definition of root zone LGR as to what's normative and what's non-normative, and maybe give examples as to what non-normative information the root zone LGR offers to the community. Is that one possible addition? Did I miss anything? How can we expand this?
So I think thinking aloud, where there are these non-normative conditions, they're normally listed in the proposals. However, I think we should probably develop some kind of a repository for these non-normative recommendations as well, so that they don't get sort of lost in the proposals. So perhaps one recommendation could be that as this is developed, that's something which we need to discuss. Should it be ICANN, should it be the GPE, should it be IP, who should dig out these non-normative recommendations and perhaps tabulate them at a central place so that they remain accessible, if you think that's a good idea.
Thank you, Sarma. Let's make a note, an action item to add that item into this scope item 1A to talk about normative and non-normative and how non-normative information should be captured so that it's, like you said, not lost. Okay, anything else? On 1A? No, let's move on to 1B.
So I've given you control, Dennis. You can scroll through.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. So 1B. 1B states how the question is, how should the root zone LGR be applied on a label? Roman numeral 1, determining string syntax validity depends on using only the script's proposals integrated. And Roman numeral 2, root zone LGR needs to be used in its totality and not just by its parts, implying that scripts not integrated cannot be processed and labels in that script will be considered invalid. And on this point, I just want to bring to this conversation the notion that this is being also talked about in at least two instances, as far as I'm aware. One is the managing IDN TLD variant framework, and also the initial reporting subprose, how they're going to validate top-level domain names, and in the managing IDN TLD variant framework, how they are going to calculate variants, with using the roots on LGR, but recognizing that not all of the scripts, at least at this point in time, are not integrated in the roots on LGR. So what do we do with those scripts? I mean, I don't think that's in the scope of our group, our study analysis. What does ICANN or other party does with respect to apply for scripts that are not supported, but I think we have to issue a recommendation as far as that in that regard. But the point here on 1B is that if somebody uses a root to an LGR, that's they have to agree with that result, right? They cannot take just the Copen repertoire and not agree with the calculation of variance, or vice versa, or just take one part, right? It's all or nothing. But for non-supported scripts, ICANN might think of a alternative approach.
This is Sarmat. I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead, Sarmat.
Thank you, Dennis. So I think I can't remember the exact section, but the root zone LGR procedure itself may actually say something about it. And before we, I guess, suggest one way or the other, it may actually be very useful to see exactly what the root zone LGR procedure says. And then have further discussion in that context. I can go and dig out the relevant portion and share that with the working group, study group.
Thank you, Sarma. That would be useful and potentially useful for the document itself. Any other comment here? None? Okay. I want to pause here. So what we're doing right now is to try to discuss ourselves whether we need more information as far as what we have on screen right now. But if we don't, at least we're in good shape. And I think, Sarma, correct me if I'm wrong, can we rely on you and your staff to help us develop a draft paragraph based on these bullet points, right, on plus our discussions and new reference that we're finding?
I can certainly start translating that into a document if you'd like me to do so.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So move on to 1C. The question is, does the root zone LGR define the upper limit as far as scope and repertoire allowing in the root zone? I think the answer here is yes. Anyone disagrees? It's a basic question, and by definition, the root zone LGR defines the upper limit as far as the Copen repertoire is allowed to be used.
This is Sarma. Just to like to make a comment.
Yes, Sarma, please go ahead.
Right. So I think one thing which will eventually probably come up in the community is that the current rules on LGR, most of the work has been really done for version 6.3 of Unicode. And now, obviously, I think we're close to Unicode 11, which has come out. I think there are two dimensions to it, and perhaps our response should address both of them. One, of course, is that within MSR 3, which is limited to 6.3 Unicode version, of course, this is an upper limit, but it still remains an upper limit even if MSR is eventually extended to 11.0, but the generation panel does not update their proposal. So I think those are two different aspects of the same problem, but perhaps good to address both kinds of limits. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. Edmund?
Sorry, I tried to unmute from my laptop, which is not correct. Just one point here. I don't know whether this belongs here or some other place in the document, but just thinking out if we limit to whether the output of the LGR is valid or not, then of course the MSR and the root zone LGR will kind of dictate. The question then becomes, if it's not in there, is anyone allowed to apply for it, go through the process, but perhaps only be delegated until the code points are included in the LGR, or further process, you know, until the LGR is ready. The reason why I ask this is because there, as we stand today, at least, the new GTLD process is few and far in between. And if somebody really wants to apply for something, that demonstrates a bit of usage and maybe can get people to focus on getting that script together, or whatever reason, it wasn't included in the sets of LGR before. I don't have a exact recommendation right now, but when we say something is invalid, does it mean that, you know, an application will be rejected outright, or does it stay in the system and wait for the LGR to be complete before the process completes? At this particular moment, for us, it makes a little bit more sense to suggest the latter, because the former would have some very direct policy implications. But again, I don't have a definitive answer or thinking at this point. But I hope what I explained is understandable.
Thank you, Edmund.
Sarmat for the queue, please.
Yes, Sarmat.
So, thank you, Edmund, and that's a very interesting, viewpoint. And I'm just thinking that obviously the second option is obviously based on policy then, and eventually it would be up to policy to decide how to deal with those applications which are in suspended mode. However, if we are going in that direction, then we may actually end up with applications which will never get resolved because either the LGR generation panel doesn't get formed or for some of those reasons. So I'm just thinking out loud, on how to time bound some of those implications. Again, that may not be a relevant discussion on this forum, just a potential issue with that approach, which needs to be, addressed as well. Thank you.
Edmund,
Yeah, I guess in direct response to that, as someone, as you mentioned, the question here is whether this is the group to determine that. And if you ask me, then how to deal with that should be the policy side of things. And perhaps it might even be slightly different between the CCs and the Gs. It would be nice if our report can point to that in saying that there is something to be decided there rather than to make that decision here. That's my current inclination, not very strongly, but that's the current inclination.
Sarvat for the queue.
Go ahead, Sarma.
Thank you. So, yes, I agree, Edmund. I think what I'm saying is that if we raise that option, we should perhaps also raise along with that, that then there is an associated risk which should also be looked at by the, you know, policy group which is perhaps addressing that issue. So, just suggested we raise that in addition or as a potential item to plug if a policy group is addressing that kind of problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Very interesting exchange. So let's make sure that we capture that and find resolution as to how we deal with that in this analysis. All right, let's move on to 1D. The question is, who are users of the root channel GR? And this is more on a definition phase, so we will need to find out a way to structure all of these questions together. But what we originally thought about users of the root channel GR are TLD or TLD variant label applicants, others associated with the TLD evaluation and delegation process, such as ICANN, PTI, IANA, and other application evaluation panels, and other users overall, like DECMA holders, those agencies engage in objection processes, application providers, etc. Anything else?
So I think this is Sarmad. Number three potentially can be divided into at least two groups. One group which is perhaps more in focus on objection, application process, and those kind of issues, whereas the other one which is more about technical implementation. So they're separated. But I think those are really two different kinds of groups. Just a suggestion. Thank you.
All right.
So, for example, the second set of groups is more relevant to universal acceptance kind of context, whereas the first group is perhaps more relevant to application, TLD application kind of process.
Correct. And perhaps that's from a I think that would be a good way to separate the type of user so that those reading these policy-wise or other groups, put these type of users in a box, right? Those are involved in the application process and those are outside the application process, but otherwise find the information of the Rootzone LGR user.
Sarmad, for a cue, please.
Yes, Sarmad.
Just something you said, which clicked. So we've not, for example, listed policy bodies like SOs, GNSO, NCCNSO. They are actually likely to be developing policies which will be using Rootzone LGR. Is that like a use which we think is something which is valid here, or is that not the kind of use we are listing here?
Sarma, can you repeat that, please?
So I was suggesting that there's another kind of use. You actually mentioned policy. So there is a use of Rootzone LGR as part of the policy, which means in a reasonably indirect way, GNSO and CCNSO, for example, are also users of Rootzone LGR because Rootzone LGR gets incorporated in their in the policy making potentially. So I was just raising whether that kind of use should also be identified in this list, or is that too indirect to be identified here? Thank you.
Right. Well, the use case that you just described, I think, falls into the application process overall. You're just identifying the specific bodies in the application process that are responsible for defining how to use it, personal ER. So, I mean, let's keep a note of those roles and see how they can fit. But I see them as the within the application. Rootzone LGR is using the application process, which is defined by GNSO for GDLEs, and CCNSO defines the application process for CCTLDs. But right
okay,
now, that's the way I'm reacting to it. But yeah, let's take a note of that. Those examples use cases, and let's find a way how to incorporate those in our analysis. Okay, let's keep moving. 1E, I think that will be the last for today without going to the second part. So 1E, the question is, should Rootzone LGR be used just for ID and TLD applications or for all TLD applications, including ASCII labels? And I think here we put something that we discussed previously, and please keep me honest here if this is not accurate, but what we discussed was that it's captured here as the study group believes this scope item is important in light of cross-script variants that may exist among related scripts, such as Latin, Cyrillic, and Greek. And to add to the context, because here we cannot see the comments that we put back then, the Latin generation panel, as well as the Cyrillic and Greek, were tasked or are tasked to find those cross-script variants based on visual similarity in the context of identical glyphs, right? Those characters whose glyphs are exactly identical. In light of that, made us think, right? If you are applying for a ASCII label, a pure ASCII-only label, which ASCII is just the encoding format, but actually you are using Latin script for an ASCII label, that ASCII label may have a cross-script variant in a Cyrillic or Greek So in that case, you want to know whether your ASCII label has a cross-grid variant. If you don't use the Routesome LGR for ASCII label, then you would not have that information. That's why we thought about this and say that the Routesome LGR should be used for all TLDs, not just IDN TLDs. And that's what the context of this question and preliminary analysis is arriving to. Any comments, additional comments to this? Pros, cons, objection, support, anything?
Sarmat for the queue.
Go ahead, Sarmat.
Before I start, to note, Mariana says yes. I think it's based on the work which is already out from Cyrillic and what is being done by Latin GP, it's very clear that some of the ASCII labels will have cross-grid variants, and there has to be a mechanism to apply root zone LGR on ASCII labels, therefore, to identify those variant labels. At least some connection is necessary. Obviously, one way of doing it is to run the ASCII labels through the root zone LGR as well. And I think that's what we're proposing. But even if that is not done, we should still need to determine variants of ASCII labels based on root zone LGR. What I'm saying is I would generally support this particular comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarma, Mijana agrees. This reminds me when the SUPRO initial report was released, I emailed this study group as well, that they were referring our work as relevant and also expecting some input from this analysis. So I think this is going to be valuable for them to establish the ongoing, right now, in-progress policy as far as the new TLD round. Okay, so it's 10:56 on my clock, so I want to stop here. I apologize for the tech problems that we had at the beginning, which ate some of our airtime to discuss. But I think what we learned today is that we need to use the dial-in feature or dial-out feature for Adobe Connect moving forward, so that we can expedite our the initiation of the call. Right? There are issues with the mic. Those connecting with the mic will only listen to mic users, and not everybody uses that. But if you connect through dial in or dial out, you will hear everyone. If you are out of your country, not able to connect through a telephone, a landline, or a phone, line, Skype might be the solution. I think Sarma uses Skype, so that's also a possibility, so please keep that in mind. And with that, any other business? So
just to add to that, Dennis, when I'm using Skype, I use the US number. And if you have some credit in your Skype, you can actually dial out to the 1-800 number or the toll-free number, which means that your actually credit doesn't get used, but you can still because Skype dials a local number. So that way, you can use Skype without actually using a credit.
All right. Good input, Sarma. Thank you. So there you go. Please, for next week, and I believe we do have the, yep, it's in, or should be in your calendars for next week. Let's try using connecting with dial in, dial out, or Skype until we have confirmation that the mic computer connection is up and running normally again. So action item, Sarma, please help us to, I think we're in good shape for this whole section one, use of Rootzone LGR, and we can start drafting a preliminary paragraphs based on our discussions. So if we can have that by next week, that'd be great.
Sure. So I'll generate the minutes and also start the document and share both of those over email. It will be likely on Friday. We actually have some holidays locally for 3 days this week. But in any case, I'll try to get this to you in your mailboxes by Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. I appreciate that. All right. With that, thank you very much for your time today. Keep in the lookout for emails to review offline. Next week, we're going to start looking at items 2 and part of number 3. All right? So with that, thank you very much again, and have a good day and good rest of the week. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.